Friends, as I indicated, the theme for this, the second Sunday in Advent, is the theme of peace. Well, we all crave peace, don't we? In our world, we see so much that represents anything but peace. And sometimes people struggle to match the reality of our daily experience of the world with this promise of peace in the Savior's birth. In fact, I have even heard people dismissing the whole idea of faith because they said, where is this peace that you think came in Jesus Christ? And it's important for us to understand the peace of God and for us to absorb the story. Because you see, this peace on earth that's associated with Christmas is not essentially about the relationship between world powers. It's not essentially about peaceableness between peoples and nations. This peace of God, of the gospel, is rather, in fact, about the state of our human hearts. Now, I suppose, of course, if enough human hearts find this peace, then that would certainly have an impact upon what was going on in the world. But that's where it all begins. And let me rehearse with you the story, the account, the big picture in the scriptures of how this peace comes to us in Christ. You know, in the beginning, it was God's intention that his human creatures should be in close, personal fellowship with himself. That was his desire for them. In fact, they were called upon to have a relationship with him that was not just a worshipful one, but was in fact even a cooperative one. In that the Lord had created human beings to act on his behalf in the midst of his creation, to care for, to nurture, and to be a blessing. And of course, we know that's not exactly how it worked out. Though we were created to be at peace with God, the story is that human beings very quickly fell out of peace with God. In fact, there was a tension because human beings really wanted often to dismiss God entirely and take his place. Now, how did that come about? Well, you see, love and commitment must be a result of choice and not compulsion. If you're programmed just to do something, then there is no cooperation involved on your part. You're just made to do it. Whereas God created humans with the capacity to work with him creatively and with the intention that that relationship with him would be one that was voluntarily expressed and a commitment which they made willingly by choice to honor him. Now, as the story unfolds, when that cooperative relationship between God and his people broke down, God introduced to his people a series of laws and rules to govern their life, with the intention that they should understand more clearly what faithfulness looked like. But that faithfulness too also rested on choice, not compulsion. You realize, of course, that God could have made us as automatons who have no say in what we do, but who just go along programmed. But that was not his desire, because his desire was a people who would work cooperatively with him in his name to guard and cherish his creation. And even the introduction of rules to help them understand what that would look like required them to do so by choice. And we know, in part at least, what happened to the law. It got subverted in many directions. Some just refused to listen. Others liked the law as long as it applied to other people and not to themselves. And God's purposes, therefore, were thwarted. Oh, perhaps life was better in some respects because the law had been introduced, but the basic problem hadn't been solved yet. It was still festering in the human situation. And ultimately, God introduced the solution. And the solution, long promised, was in the sending of a Messiah, a Redeemer, a Rescuer, someone who would put things at right. That promise was reflected in the messages of the prophets. That promise was woven into the expectation and hope of God's people. And then, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. And what did the Messiah represent for God's people? Well, first of all, the coming of the Messiah meant that there was forgiveness. There was you see, that all that had gone wrong before, the slate could be wiped clean. And God's people could find a new beginning in the Messiah. And then, on that, with their relationship with the Lord restored, things reset, they could begin to live as God's people. And with that pardon came peace. Because as long as humans are at war with their Creator, if only in their minds and hearts, there is no peace. Because we were created to be people in harmony and fellowship with the Lord. And this grace that God revealed in the sending of his Son that included pardon, or at least began with pardon, also was a peace that was intended to be shared in the world. This is why those humble circumstances of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem were in fact news for the whole world. It started there, but the intention was that as the Messiahship came into fullness, as Christ's public ministry began, and as he taught, and as he lived, and as he died, that people would find pardon in him, and that then this pardon and peace would be shared in the world, and it would spread out from there. Now we have to concede that even pardoned people aren't perfect. And even as people pardoned by God, we sometimes struggle to be faithful. But there is now a new quality and character of our relationship with God. And that is the foundation of the peace that we talk about in Jesus Christ. And as I said, of course, if enough people are shaped by that encounter with the Messiah and are aware of their being pardoned by God and of their calling in Christ, then the world begins to be transformed. But the peace comes person by person. And oh yes, some people may have a desire for peace just because war and conflict is not very pleasant. The real peace comes when we human beings are at peace with God. And that opens the way for us to be at peace with one another. Because We aren't always wonderful at pardoning one another. But when we have experienced God's forgiveness, and when we think about what that really represents, then how can we say, I want to be pardoned by God, but I'm not really ready to pardon anybody else? And we struggle with that, but the truth is that genuine peace with God sets us on a path of growing in grace. And we may never get to the perfect conclusion of that as long as we dwell in these mortal bodies. But that's peace. That's life transforming. This is the peace that comes in Jesus Christ. It takes root in a human heart. In your heart, in my heart. And then the peace transforms who we are and how we think and how we react to the world, what we say and what we do. And so this proclamation of peace for the world was not some bogus banner. It was real. But we have to understand how it begins, where it begins, and how it must grow. This peace is not based on law or even justice, important as those things are, But this peace that we have in Christ is based on hope and love, as we have come to experience that in Jesus Christ. And from that, of course, flows the joy that we talk about at Christmas. You know, it wasn't all peaceful in the world when that announcement was made by the angels to the shepherds. And think about it for a moment. Israel was an occupied country. You're talking about the relationship between peoples and nations. It wasn't a perfect world. It was a world that needed peace. And the announcement came that what God was doing in the sending of his Son was bringing an avenue of peace and pardon and hope and love and joy. And that it was worked out in each human heart, one by one. So rejoice that you've heard the story. Rejoice to live as God's people. And let us aspire to live to be the people we are called to be in Christ, in harmony with our Creator, and eager to work with him for his purposes in this, his world. This is good news. Good news to be shared. Thanks be to God. Amen.